My name is Vanessa Van Lee, CEO of We Are Tech Women. I am delighted to welcome you to season 4 of our podcast. During this season, you can expect much of the fantastic content that we gave you in the last. Inspirational stories of men and women who have succeeded in their careers. Insights into a myriad of tech topics, bringing you both innovation and inspiration. It's going to be a bumper series and we hope you enjoy it. This episode of She Talks Tech, we hear from Dominic Ashby, a humanity champion and a founder at Neuro at Work. Dominic explains how our brains got their last major hardware update over 200,000 years ago. We're all still getting used to the different elements that come with interacting virtually. In this session, we look at ways we can support our brains in being their best in a virtual setting, with a particular focus on the best ways to use tech for collaboration with teams and clients.
So how do we get a brain state that's very productive? Well, we can start by knowing that a productive brain state is one that has enough mental energy to get on with doing what it needs to do. And we can take into account that our brains are like our phones. So they have a set amount of mental energy that they can use during the day before they need recharging. And recharging for us is going to bed, it's sleep. Exercise, meditation can help reset and recharge a certain amount, but overall sleep is the primary time when we recharge our brains. So if we think about that, during a day, we have a set amount of mental energy to use. It's precious. Let's think about how we can preserve that so that we can be our most productive throughout the day. Now, one of the things to preserve mental energy is to write things down that are running through your mind. We have a working memory that can hold about 5 to 7 items at any one time, but that is quite a lot of cognitive load for our brain. So if we write things down that are running through our brains, then actually the mental energy it was using to keep those, it can then repurpose for other things. So that can make us more productive overall. Something as simple as also prioritizing our to-do list really helps our brains, because at their core, they are survival prediction machines. They are constantly, automatically and subconsciously scanning all the data points around you to run risk analysis to make sure that what's ahead is going to be the most likely outcome for survival. Now, times of change, when there's a lot of uncertainty, are horrid for the brain. The brain is essentially running lots of error reports in its risk analysis. This is why change can often feel uncomfortable, scary, threatening. It's because our brain is saying, hang on, we don't know what's coming next, so I can't run risk analysis. This is a scary situation for us. But if you do something as simple as prioritizing your to-do list and focusing on the things that you can control in it, that's giving and feeding your brain a bit of certainty. And that will alleviate it from going through any sort of error reporting as risk analysis. It knows what's coming up next in its day. You've told it. So it can process on the basis of that. So doing something like that can really help, again, conserve your mental energy so it's not being spent on lots of error reporting on the risk analysis that it's doing. So one final thing that we can do to be our most productive and collaborative is we can avoid multitasking. So it's a very big feature of modern life, and we believe all of us that we can do it really well. So we could be giving a webinar while also checking our phone while listening out for children in the background. Actually, unfortunately, our brain can't multitask. It can't parallel process. When you're multitasking, all it's doing is task switching very quickly between different items. And that's a bit of an issue, because what we need to be productive and collaborative is focused attention. And the more you multitask, the more you actually degrade your brain's ability to put focused attention out there. So if you can, during your day, even carve out half an hour where you have switched off your phone, put it in another room, where you have said no distractions to those around you, you essentially have a do not disturb sign. If you can just get half an hour in your day where you learn to refocus, where it's only on one task in front of you, then that helps to protect your brain in the longer term from all of the multitasking, the erosion of focused attention that you can get. So when we're collaborative, we're in an open mindset. The enemy of collaboration is us being in a threat state in our brain, in a closed mindset. And again, that's something which happens during change naturally. So what can we do to force, to brain hack, I guess, a positive mindset? One of the tips, and it's a really simple one to do, is to think of a positive memory. Bring it to mind as much detail as possible, the sights, the sounds, the weather, if you're British, that matters a lot. You can think about everything around you, the context, the more detail, the better. Now, why this works is because the brain encodes memories by using all of that sensory input data. And it encodes memories also by using the same neurochemical status when they first happened. So if you're living a positive experience, the memory that's encoded is encoded with positive neurochemical transmitters. If it's a negative memory, the opposite is true. So by bringing to mind a positive memory, you are resetting and flooding your brain with the positive chemicals that it had when it first lived that memory. And when you're in that positive chemical state, you are in the best state for all of the collaborative, creative, innovative thinking. So those are the top three tips for being productive and collaborative to get the right brain state. Let's look now, actually, what is it that's different in virtual working and how that impacts us? We are lacking human contact, and I think all of us have recognised that. We are designed as human beings to actually respond to physical touch and to hormones that are released in physical presence. They can be good, they can be bad. So if we're in a meeting physically with someone who's stressed, their cortisol release can trigger cortisol release in us and make us stressed too. But the opposite can be true as well. So if we're feeling positive, if we're feeling loved, we can release oxytocin, which then helps release other feelings of trust and happiness around us. So ultimately, when we're virtual, our brain is waiting to receive certain neurochemical, certain hormonal triggers to help it understand and perceive the situation. And virtually, it doesn't. I'm sure that at one point or another, technology will arrive and we'll have something attached to our smartphones or to our computers that spray out relevant hormones, depending on what someone's doing or feeling or thinking. But at the moment, we're not there yet. So we're missing a very physical cue. What we're also missing is four body language cues. So while we're living in these little virtual rectangles, our brain is trying to work out, well, what is the rest of the person looking like? How are their feet placed? How are their arms placed? All of these things that we would naturally, again, subconsciously be processing in physical presence, it's trying to infer through this tiny rectangle. And we also subconsciously process micro expressions, which are expressions that are very small, tiny, they last less than a second, a fraction of a second. And when we're trying to process us in the virtual world, we have a bit of trouble, not least because there's poor video quality, which means that actually we don't see the high definition we need to see a micro expression. We also end up with lags. So it might be we're viewing a time micro expression, but it's out of time and out of sync with the actual audio, which then confuses the brain and makes it infer again, having to infer different things. So that's making the brain work overtime just to try and get a baseline of communications. What we're also missing is physical movement during our day since going virtual. Majority of us have lost our commute time. We get up less from our day. We'd have fewer coffee points run, and we'll come back to why those are also something that impact us. And we are wired as humans to release chemicals that help us when we move. So when we do exercise, when we move, when we do brisk walks, actually release chemicals in the brain that are neuroprotective and that help us with learning. So the less we move during the day, the less able we are going to be to have a positive brain state overall. Changes of scene as well are something that we're missing. So that stimulates our brain. Our brain loves novelty, and it loves novelty in any sort of form. It's trained to look at it because, again, it's all about predicting and risk and analysing situations. So if there's something new, that actually needs to be given attention because we need to risk analyse that. So novelty is something that our brains are naturally attracted to. And during a day, we'd have lots of change of scenes. So we'd be able to give our brain lots of different types of information feeds. Whereas now we tend to be a lot more static. So our brain is disengaging a lot more. It might be feeling more forgetful than usual because it hasn't got all of the different sensory points that that help us encode memories and differentiate them. We're also missing chance encounters. So there's moments when we're going and we bump into someone and they give us a whole new perspective on something we've been thinking about, or you end up just sparking a whole new conversation that resets our brains and makes us feel more productive afterwards. We do have some replications in the virtual world. So I know that there's lots of companies running networking, kind of chance networking moments where it's during a set time during the day where you can be connected with people from around your company and just on a potluck basis. And those are great, but it is still a lot more structured. It's not the chance encounters that we're used to. And that's something which unfortunately does have an impact on collaboration in the virtual world. Top three tips to be able to be as collaborative as possible in a virtual setting. Well, the first is to bring to mind that positive memory at the start with your group. So whether you ask people to share openly or whether you just ask people to bring things to mind for themselves, that will really help set the scene for that positive neurochemical state that really helps build that collaborative spirit and will help build trust ultimately across your group. The second one would be to be mindful of your body language. So to the extent possible, if you've got an important point or a new point, possibly exaggerate a little bit your body language to make sure that your expressions can be easily understood by those around you, so people don't infer something negative, which would immediately turn off the collaborative spirit, and so that their brain can just be focused on the collaboration in front rather than trying to infer what it is you mean and what you're feeling and what it is they perceive in you. So the third thing is to include as much co-creation and interactivity as possible in your virtual world. Co-creation is inherently rewarding for the brain, and that helps, again, with engagement and with that open, positive mindset that really thrives and helps people in terms of sharing new ideas and breaking new ground. The more interactive elements you use, the more the brain is going to be engaged. It's going to be wanting to see the novel idea, to see what it is that it's being asked to do. And that helps you keep engaged. That helps you really keep on track with your audience.
Dominique, absolutely incredible session. I cannot thank you enough for being our guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thank you to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Dominique, you can connect her on LinkedIn. Please remember to subscribe, give our podcast a rating and a 5-star review. Please keep listening every Wednesday morning for a new episode of She Talks Tech.